we do it like we do it.
Hey, hey, hey. I'm so glad, by the way, that everyone listening is listening because they got the notification because they remembered to subscribe. Oh my God, thank you guys so much for hitting that subscribe button. We here at PCP appreciate it. Thank you.
That's our like our words, our subscription acceptance speech. Thank you so much. You like us. You really like us. And if you like us even more, then you know what you're going to do. You're going to go over to Instagram and you're going to follow us on at Pretty Corrupt Podcast. You're going to go to TikTok and you're going to follow us at Pretty Corrupt Podcast. And then you're going to go over to Twitter because it's still Twitter, goddammit. And you're going to follow Pretty Corrupt One. Yes. Yeah. And then the trifecta. Then we'll have our EGOT. Then we'll have our EGOT of listeners.
Yeah.
And if you're anything like Jordan and run like 8 different accounts with 5 burners, like us and follow us from all of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The more the merrier.
Well, which episode is this that's coming out on Tuesday?
Bravo Breakdown, speaking of which. Speaking of which, instead of just hustling for subscribers and followers, I guess we should break Bravo down. Where do we begin? Yes. Let's just spell out our handles letter by letter.
Let's just take up half the time. No, let's start on the East Coast at the Hamptons with Summer House. And then we'll move our way west. How about that? That's what I say we do. We start off with the train wreck that is Lindsay and Carl. I mean, the quick thing is that the episode this week wasn't like a ton of stuff besides my thing more is what came up in Watch What Happens Live and what is now all over like Page Six and Us Weekly and everything like that, that Lindsay's talking about how Carl demanded the engagement ring back after they broke up. Like demanded. That's the word that's being
used. Yeah, she said that on Watch What Happens, right?
Yep. Yeah. So that he demanded the 4.02 carat engagement ring. And this to me, because there's nothing there. Because she even says that in New York law, there's a law regarding engagement rings where it's considered a contingency gift. And what that means is that it is contingent upon there being a wedding and a marriage. So when there isn't, the ring legally belongs to him. So because it's a gift contingent upon them getting married. So otherwise he owns the ring. So I was like, so there's really nothing there. You're just really trying to make him look bad because you've looked terrible these last two episodes because of you calling him Cocaine Carl and calling him not sober when he was sober and just generally looking like a drunken fool like you usually do, but you get away with it because everybody else is drunk and not this time anymore. So, and some people who have been on the fence about Lindsay or have been Lindsay apologists and maybe are even still Lindsay fans are still not agreeing with this behavior. There are people who do, and that's fine. That's on their conscience. But, you know, other people are going, okay, wait a minute. Maybe there's a reason he broke up with her.
I caught where she was trying to paint him as the bad guy with that, with taking the ring back, because she goes, well, there's the law and then there's etiquette. And what she's implying, he wasn't a gentleman to let her keep it. Because I know technically, if he breaks it off, it's like up to the woman. This is so old school social norms, not the law. But I'm sorry, that was a brief, messy breakup for a brief, messy engagement for TV. This wasn't like he strung her along for years and some romance and she wasted. What is she going to say? I wasted the best season of my life. No, the ring goes back, especially if he paid for it. I mean, I asked you that, Stacey, like, was it a TV arrangement like VPR where it's sponsored and a discount, or was it out of his pocket?
It looks to be out of his pocket. This did not seem to be a Kyle Chan VPR deal or Bachelor Neil Lane type of situation. Like, no, this seemed to be like he paid for this himself. And so this was the ring. I mean, I, being from the South, I mean, I kind of am more like, oh, if you broke it off, dude, then she should keep the ring. However, this might be one of those few times I'm like, eh, you should get that ring back, man.
Yeah.
Because like, also, this past episode, they had a conversation on camera about her, about his job situation, which that made me sit up a little straight and like listen and go, oh, okay, he hasn't been working in a lover boy. He's been basically trying to find himself, which I get. That would make me very nervous going into a marriage with a man who doesn't have a job and is trying to figure out what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. But again, that comes with the territory with somebody who's in recovery. And that's why you're not supposed to date anybody within their first year of recovery, because they are trying to figure these things out. Now, granted, he was in his like second year of recovery, or maybe third year, but it's still, you started this relationship during the first year of recovery. And that's time when he's supposed to be spending that energy, both recovering and figuring these things out, mm-hmm. and take that time. But he's been taking time to like manage you and your emotions. Anyway, besides the point, no, it actually is part of the point, because she was talking about how she basically is now a full-time influencer. She closed down her PR company. And she was like, well, you know, if it push came to shove, I could open Hubhouse back up and start doing PR and go back to my clients. I was like, oh, it's just that easy to like restart your company and all your clients come like running back to you. I don't think so. But at the same time, it reminds you that she's in PR. Like, she's in PR and the show means a lot to her. Like, she knows how to work these things. The show means a lot to her. Having a relationship on this show meant something, helped to continue her storyline on this show, which obviously pays her bills as well as influencing. So it's all wrapped up. She can't quote unquote afford to look like the bad guy. And so she'll throw Carl under the bus anytime she can. Now, is there I any sound other... like a male apologist.
You do. Like, I've always said you are. I've always said that. Is there any reason other than spite to that a woman would want to keep the ring? And spite's a big reason, and I totally respect it. But like, why would you want to keep the ring?
Oh,
or sell it. I mean, obviously, or sell it.
I was gonna say, I tweet this out on Lee like every year.
I love how man is answering this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's Lee. I'm the one with Lee Radswell's telling. Yeah.
I say what you do is keep it if you can. I mean, the value, that was a 4-carat ring. Keep it and just, I get not wanting to keep the ring itself. Have that stone mounted as a pendant. just for the jewelry's sake. I mean, like, I know people, I've seen people like they get divorced, they've been married and they throw the ring back. And I'm like, no. Have that mounted as a necklace, as a trophy. Don't give it back. I mean, I get, you know, I'm just saying like, no, I get this. Yeah. As the ring, I think it's creepy to keep wearing, but I don't know. That's a nice diamond.
I apologize for asking you first, Stacey. I should have asked Jordan. That was obviously a question for him. Yeah.
When it comes to jewelry, period, male or female, it always goes to Jordan first.
That's true. Yeah.
For me to speak on behalf of the female gender, I don't know about that. Well, spite is the main reason, I would say. I think spite takes up 80% of that pie.
And it's the best reason.
If we're talking about if he ends the engagement or the relationship, then spite is the main reason. Then there'd be 20% of like, well, I really like this diamond. Or there could be like, well, I spent like, if there was a long engagement or a long, you know, relationship, like we were together 10 years and I finally got this fucking ring and then he changes his fucking mind. I ain't giving this thing back. Like this is at least to show the 10 years of my investment. So that's an investment right there. That's an investment in herself that has finally paid off and she's going to keep that fucking ring. So that's investment property right there. So that's one sliver. I think it just kind of depends, but Like, it, obviously, if I had broken it off, I would have been like, I don't want this ring. Mm. And but if he had broken it off and it had been something really weird, I'd probably be like, I don't think I want this ring. And Jordan, and I would hear Jordan's head explode from wherever he is in the country.
No! I never pass up jewelry or an opportunity to push people to buy. So,
well, I have a question. What did you think originally of the brown diamond that Schwartz gave Katie as her engagement ring?
Oh, yeah. That could be flushed. I did not like get rid of it. I didn't like it.
The brown pear-shaped diamond.
Oh, I like, hated it. Yeah. No. So I meant like Lindsay's is a 4-carat white diamond. Oh, it's like legit. That's like a Mercedes on your finger. But it, So I'm just like greedy and I'm just like materialistic here. I'm looking at that. I'd be like, I'd find a way to keep it. Or
well, I'm also trying to move us over to our next segment too.
Oh.
Seamlessly.
Well done. I saw it coming. I guess he did not. Yeah.
I was too. You know, I get distracted by shiny objects, so I'm like.
If you ever want to get like. Yeah, just jingle some keys in front of Jordan's face. You'll get him away.
Lisa Vanderpump's giant diamond ring, which you can see on Vanderpump Rules. Hey.
I love that the opening shot of this episode was Sandoval laying in bed with his headband on his stomach, writing in his journal. It was perfect. Yeah. Just perfect.
I mean, he's such a tortured soul, you guys. He needs so much help. Yes. Oh man, he's seen so much kindness this weekend. He doesn't know what to do except for yell at Lala and make Sheena cry.
I want to know in his journal certain. I screenshot it, or no, I froze the screen for a second, but I was like. Whatever, but certain passages of his journal were fuzzed out. Some were clear for reading, and a couple lines each were blurred out. And I don't know what that issue was. If it's like, dear diary, blah, 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 blah. Production won't leave me alone. They're standing over my shoulder. I don't know why they were blurred out specifically.
I keep thinking about that one time with Rachel. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
Or Ariana is such a see you na 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 na.
Yeah. What was it? A yoga healing energy
meditation. Yeah.
I really liked how totally unprepared. I like how totally natural this coach. Who came in clearly had not been schooled by Sandoval on exactly what was going on at all. Clearly. I mean, the guiding question she asked about telling these strangers who she hasn't read about in a single headline about letting go of certain things. I was like,
and looking at somebody and saying like, if it's the last time I ever saw you, totally random. That's totally random.
Yeah.
Right. Oh man,
I like there the look was a on moment. Her face. Oh, I like the look on the coach and say when she said certain things or asked certain questions, she'd slightly smirk and look at someone, and I'm like, oh, this is like the highlight of her. She's a fan, you know. She was like,
There are moments, and obviously this is because, as we've discussed, I'm a virgin to this series, so I've only seen Sandoval for, 3 episodes now? There are times when I legit feel empathetic for him, which I guess that goes towards whatever charisma he may or may not have, but then he'll hit moments like the Lala thing where I'm like, oh, no, he's an asshole. Why did I feel bad for him 5 minutes ago? Mm. Like during the meditation thing when he and Sheena were both crying, I was like, okay, he's having a moment, and then he just ruined it like 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's manipulation.
What
it runs through his veins.
with that scene, though, like the main thing for me, it was I had to watch that scene twice because the first time I just couldn't get past Sheena and her face and her mannerisms. She was having a quiet meltdown and, you know, like she was like, what's the word? Seething and just like visibly upset. And this isn't mean because she's very pretty now in general, but kind of like Kim Kardashian, where she looks a little bit in that range. She's an ugly crier. I couldn't get past how her face changes when she cries, and she looks like an ostrich. Her face looks like an ostrich when she starts crying, and it just
especially when she has eyelashes on.
She had the most Sheena episode ever, based on what you always joke about, Jordan, where everybody's her best friend. Like, over the course of the episode, she actually said all these things out loud. She said, Team Ariana till I die. Then she yelled at Sandoval, I still fucking hate you. Then she told Ariana about Sandoval, I can't fucking hate him forever. Like, she just kept going back and forth. Whoever, her best friend was everybody. Mm-hmm. And then she was very passive.
No one has lost more than Sheena.
Nope.
Well, she was very passive aggressive, mentioning that she wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars, but she was like, oh, but I'm so happy for Ariana, but I wanted to be on that. And then she actually said out loud at the end, why can't it all be about me? She actually said that out loud.
And you don't know this, but there have been at least, well, there's been two seasons that were most definitely all about her, where she said it was about her, because, and they were seasons where she got married. Yes, the woman's been married twice on the show. Twice on the show, she's been married and made it, her entire season is about her wedding and about her day. So we heard her say and guilt people last year, guilt Katie about coming to dinner at her wedding because it was her day and it was her wedding and it was her weekend. She talked so many times about it was her. Also, let's not forget the fact that this show started because it was about her having an affair with Brandi Glanville's husband, Eddie Cibrian. And that's how they swaggered into the show and made a meet together. It has literally always been about Sheena.
That Brandi actually tweeted that. It's like, oh yeah, the show literally opens with Sheena. And the show was spun off centered around her affair with Eddie, a housewife's ex-husband. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say she's lacked for camera time.
No. And look, and we all know that for a few seasons that there was an editor there who gave her a bad edit. Like, and so, and that person, so she's been cleared of that. So you no longer have that bad seed editor there giving you a bad edit. So, okay, girl, like, what's the problem now? Like, and also let's also, like, then that's all about you too. Like, literally anything that you can make about you, you have made it about you. Like, you made Tom and Katie's divorce about you because you made it about your wedding. You made it about, like, I'm just trying to be a good friend to Tom. Tom Schwartz is my new best friend now. He needs a friend. Rachel needs a friend too, because she's broken up with James Kennedy. Like, I'm their new best friends now. Yada, yada, yada. It's literally always about her. Always about her. And I think that she has gotten a lot of shit in the past. And I'm very, like, I'm not a Sheena hater, but at the same time, she's one of those people who want to grab by the shoulders and go, do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself? Do you think of anybody else but yourself? Obviously not.
Well, Stacey, there's just something about her. It really is.
That should be her next song, then. There's something about Sheena.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. She's something the one about who her. Has now songs. I get it.
Yeah.
She's the one who has an.
It's a deep one. It was a deep cut. Deep cut.
It was a deep cut. Oh man. Well, yes. She, once that store opens, it will definitely. Something will always be about her at that store.
I do want to point out something about the Dancing with the Stars issue for her, because she said, you know, Ariana, she's happy for Ariana, but Ariana, everyone knows Sheena's always wanted it. I know how Dancing with the Stars works, like, behind the scenes a bit. Casting is in their selection of celebrities. If they hadn't asked her by now, they never were going to. because they reach out to people. There are certain housewives, I'll say Kyle Richards as an example. They get offered dancing. They don't seek Dancing with the Stars out. The show reaches out to people they're interested in year after year, and people like Kyle Richards turn it down. It's a lot of work. But the point is, so it's not about applying. And if they wanted her, they would have reached out and hired her. And she was never, in recent years, the show was kind of tanking. It was on its way out. Not the Dancing with the Stars cast the most A-list people, but I mean, there really wasn't a lot of clout. And this past season with Scandoval, it bumped up interest in them. And the only one who would really be the direct cast is Ariana. If they wanted Sheena, they would have. She never had a chance, is what I'm saying, to break the news to her.
Agreed. No, she didn't. Like, she's, exactly. Because, like, in 2 seconds, Ariana became everybody's favorite scorned woman / America's sweetheart. Like, so it was, it was a brilliant PR move by Dancing with the Stars and ABC to put her on, to ask her to be on. But yes, that is. That is invitation only. That's like the second season of The Traitors, which was all celebrities. That was an invitation only. Like, I'm sure you had maybe some PR people, you know, or some managers of some of those reality stars reaching out saying, hey, this person would be interested. But for the most part, it was them saying, it was the production company and the producers going, these are the idea people. Who could we get, like, these people and moving them around? And stuff like that.
Yeah, so, I don't think Ariana had to reach out, which is probably kills Sheena. But like you said, that part, like when she was saying, like, she knows how much I want it. It was never yours. It was never hers, I mean.
This is the thing. I think that Sheena needs to stop trying to act like everybody's friend, because as we've said before, a friend to everybody is a friend to no one. Mm-hmm. And she also needs to start embracing her jealousy. Jealousy is a normal human emotion. And you can be jealous of your friend, or you could be like, also go, maybe perhaps these aren't the right people for me to be around. And I'm not like, granted, it's tough when you're on a television show that is paying all of your bills. But like, maybe if you're so jealous of your best friend, maybe you're not a best friend to them and you should step away from that person for a while and check yourself, because that's not Ariana's fault there. Like, Katie seems to be perfectly fine with having had gone through her own divorce and her own issues and having Ariana's non-legal divorce, you know, her just breakup happen and just overshadow everything, you know, that's going on with Katie's life. You know what I mean? It's a different type of temperament. And I think Sheena needs to embrace the fact that she is a jealous person. She does want to be that, you know, the alpha. And it is hard for her to deal with that. That's fine. It's admirable to admit that. And that takes a lot of what maturity, you know, but I don't think that Sheena will get there ever, to be honest with you.
I don't view Sheena as supremely mature. The best friend game is very, not even junior high. It's like my niece is in the second grade and she tells me about all her best friends. Everyone's her best friend. And that's the mentality that Sheena has. Yep. Only like 30 plus years older than her. So, I mean,
I mean, one time I was introducing a very good friend of mine, and she was a very good friend, but I was introducing her to some coworkers of mine. And these are people just coworkers. And I was like, and this is my very good friend, so-and-so. And she was like, don't you mean best friend? And I was like, no. like I wanted to be like, no, like for me, best friend is like, it's like 2-3 people. Like, that's it. And those are people I've known, like, and I've known her a long time and she's very close, but I was like, we don't talk weekly. Like, we don't even like, like my best friends and I, we talk at least weekly. Like I'm not an everyday type of person necessarily, although you guys are kind of the exception. So maybe you're my best friends now.
I'm glad you said it.
But it was just like, no, not everybody's my best friend, but I also don't need to like I also kind of don't need to rank my friends either. It's kind of like you're my friend or you're not. And if you're my friend, then that's awesome. Like we're in tight. But if we're not friends, then we're not friends. And that's not a bad thing. We just could be acquaintances. I don't know. Yeah. Like people just get weird. But if everybody's your best friend, then nobody's special and nobody's like really close to you. Like you'll know if we're really close.
We've talked about that too in this industry in general, because I've said like it took me a while to get a hang of it with certain people. They all refer to everyone, like these people in Hollywood, as their best friend. And I was kind of naive, and I'm like, so I was trying to keep track, like, oh, this person must be their best friend, this person. I'm like, oh, need to remember all this. Yeah, right. They probably texted like 6 months ago, but everyone's their best friend. I had to sound like Kyle in this town. Everyone says best friend, and I don't. I'm like, I know that I hate overstating. I'll say I know them, we're acquainted, or if I say I'm friends with them, or I'll say friendly with them. But yeah, that best friend thing trips me out. I'm like,
it's like those guys who call every man, other guy in their life, their brother or their cousin, like especially Italian guys. They're like, that's my cousin. It's not, and then you're like, oh, that's your cousin. And like, you start thinking that they're actually, and then you find out like 10 years from now, they were never even related, like at all. In fact, that guy's not Italian. That other guy's Armenian. Like they're not related at all. Like, you're like, what the hell? And they're like, oh, we just call each other cousin. Shut the fuck up. No, that's your fucking friend, man. That is not your cousin. That is not your brother. That is your goddamn friend. So stop it. Stop it right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've been fooled by that. Like, I feel personally offended by some men who have like pulled that. There's my brother. Oh, well, where's your brother? That's not my brother. Why the fuck you call him your brother then? Sorry, tangent.
How do you think production feels about Ariana and Katie's plot lines away from the group? Because woof, that was every time they cut back to them in this episode when they had nothing. There was them interviewing people for the sandwich shop. There was Ariana's book photo shoot, which I love that she compared. She referred to the book as her breakup album, and then she compared herself to Alanis Morissette, Kelly Clarkson, and Beyonce. She honestly thinks this single as fuck cocktail book she wrote is going to be her Lemonade. Which, God bless you, that is delusions of grandeur that we respect here at PCP.
It is.
Then Katie's big thing was that her clips of her going on a date with the guy who didn't know what penne was. shout out emo Kevin not knowing what penne is.
But I do love how she was like, I already basically raised one man. I don't want to have to do it. I don't have to raise
one,
another
one. That one I gave her credit for that. I was like, yeah. The Ariana thing, I was thinking of, it's my, Sheena is just the last person on earth in that cast to be the messenger of this too, because like we were just saying, it's all about her and she's immature. But I do get what her issue, like when she's calling Ariana and she's like, you know, saying like, he was my friend and I love you, but I can't keep hating him. I think where it's coming from, like I said, Sheena's not the one to be the messenger, though, is she's clearly moved. And like LVP's hinted at it, too. Ariana's thriving. She is doing, at that point, she's doing so well, all the shows, all the deals and stuff. And so like Sheena, and I'm sure some of the others, you see Lala hinting at it, they feel like they're still hostages to her pain. They have to be, Ariana's moved on to all these projects and she's doing great. Like they're cheering her on. Why do they have to be stuck? Sheena was friends with Sandoval too and stuff. So I think that's where the frustration, like they're the ones living out the pain for Ariana while Ariana's out living her life.
Well, I get what you're saying. I disagree with it though. Because I think that she has said, like, I'm not telling people not to be his friend. It's just that she can't be friends with them, at least not at this point in their
life.
That's
an ultimatum.
And I know that's kind of it is an ultimatum. At the same time, it's like, but it's only 3 months. Like, we keep looking at this and we're a year away from this, where this is only happening 3 months out from it. Mm-hmm. That's what I keep like reminding us of. Like, this is only 3 months out from this. If this was this time this year, then I feel like you have a little bit more of a leg to stand on. But it's still just 3 months. So we even know, like, she hasn't done Chicago yet. She hasn't done even half of the other stuff that she ends up doing, like, the rest of the year. So it's like, there's other stuff that we don't even know about, or that we do know about that they don't know about, is coming down the line. So it still feels like very, like, Tom apologist. I'm not going to say that, like, they can't feel that way or anything, but I do just think that, like, it would be one thing. I feel like as much as I don't like James. I feel like James doesn't, in my opinion, have a leg to stand on with his anger towards Tom, in my opinion, because I was like, you guys are fucking broke up anyway. But
yeah,
I feel like him and Allie have the right way of trying to keep a distance, of like trying to like respect Ariana, but also deal with the fact that, like, we're not talking about the fourth wall here that we all have to film together and we all have to do this. But like, I think I'm allowed, like, here's a way that I can interact with this person yet still feel that I am not breaking a contract that I made with Ariana in that sense. Like, I think that James and Allie have that down.
Well, Ariana,
the other ones, like, are making a big thing about it.
She keeps saying, I'm not giving ultimatums. I'll just never speak to you again. It is an ultimatum. And LVP planted the seed the other week, where we were saying, like, you know, she's trying to take control or steer, because they have a show to put on. And I think that's the other thing. It's not that they should. That's the other thing. It's not as much about their friendship with Sandoval. I should have clarified that. It's not like, let them love him again or anything. It's these people have a show to film to pay their bills. So they have to just make it work with Sandoval on some level. And while, like, they're on the trip and they're making it work, they also have to feel guilty for Ariana. It's like, I see the tides turning in a way that I predicted. Like, I think the end of Scandoval. They're going to become resentful of her.
At least Ariana is, like, open about the, like, I don't think you should film with this person on Housewives. They talk about that behind their backs. They have phone calls and text messages about, like, you shouldn't, don't film with this person. We're against this person this season. Da, da, da. Like, at least Ariana is like, I don't want, like, you're either team Ariana or you're not.
Yeah.
Well,
it is turning on her, though, a bit. We'll see. I mean, I'm looking at it as strategy. I'm like, I'm seeing the tides. Well,
I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
One last thing, though. I do want to shout out to Schwartz, because, you know, God bless him for shooting his shot and asking for the woman on the crew, the boat crew, asking for her number.
The stewardess.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was steward or what the term was for it. But yeah, when he asked for, yeah, God bless him. I don't even remember what her response was, but at least he tried.
I don't think he got it.
Yeah, probably not.
Not with that hair.
No.
Well, enough with the servers. Let's go back to my preferred zip code. Da, 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 the
Encino.
Beverly Hills reunion. Yeah, I know, Encino. Which, by the way, fun fact, the reunion is filmed next to Van Nuys Airport.
Oh, really?
There's a soundstage there. But which I'm fascinated by, because thinking about, like, Kathy Hilton coming down into Van Nuys, it fascinates me. But Beverly Hills Part 2, correct?
Yes.
Yes, we are on Part 2. Dose.
I got so heated when anybody came after my Sutton. So heated. when Kyle had the nerve, the audacity to say, you bought a horse this season and a dating coach. give me a break. That's all you've got. Come on.
Kyle kind of cleared with that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That
you
one.
Know what? You know what, Kyle? Sutton should have been, you know what, Kyle? I'm sorry I'm not messy like you. I have my shit together. It might be bad for TV, but I have my shit together.
Well, I took it as a loose threat coming from Kyle. It wasn't saying that you're just boring. It's saying that you're hiding things. That's how I read it. Because, you know, Sutton does, certain things are off limits with Sutton, like her husband, her marriage, her former marriage. It's like she said, he's a very powerful man and all that. I get it. I feel like what Kyle was saying is in a very Rinna way. Well, let's talk about you and what you don't want out there. So that's how I took it, vaguely threatening, you know, in that like between the lines kind of way.
And then I don't know
between
if it was
two ferns kind of way.
I can't remember who said it, if it was Kyle or if it was Dorit or somebody who made the crack about Sutton making out with the Uber driver. Like they actually said Uber driver instead of her actual driver. And I was just like, fuck you. I'm not an Uber driver. No offense to Uber drivers. I'm the real driver. I'm the real driver. I honestly thought that because at last week everybody was dragging Dorit. So I'm like, okay, that was part one. We're going to move on. No, Dorit got dragged the whole time this time as well. This is fun. This is fun. They're questioning her if because of her lack of designer labels and her hair color. They're saying, "Are you poor now? What are we doing here?"
We got a Marshalls out of her.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about this season about like how she's trying to kind of play poor this season. She's trying to look a little less glam, a little less dour, but at the same time, but she's doing it. But my opinion though too is that she's trying to fit the aesthetic of this quiet luxury aesthetic that has been in vogue the last, like at least season, of wearing a little bit more preppy, a little bit more toned down, because everything though, still you would see, she's still wearing a Chanel earring. She still has like a Louis bag. She still has this, like she still would have quite a few pieces that were still like, they're still, she's got Gucci sunglasses and Gucci shoes. Like, she still had quite a lot of designers on her. Quite achieving like quiet luxury, because quiet luxury is more like Succession style, where you actually don't know who these designers are. It's like Dries Van Noten, and you don't know that, if that makes sense, you know, or The Row or things like that. Like, that's what it is.
Wasn't one of her confessional looks this year like a giant Chanel neck? It was either part of the top or it was a necklace, but it just said Chanel across it. So she's not really being subtle.
No.
You have to see recent seasons before this, where literally, not an exaggeration, head to toe, full body logo outfits, full body interlocking G's or LVs. I mean, I'm not joking, like bodysuits just done in designer insignias. So this is very like, she's acting like a nun here. I mean,
yeah.
I saw her when she sat down with Garcelle at that like kind of confrontation, or you know, that heavy lunch. She was wearing like a white button down with a sweater. I forgot what brand, but that was, like you said, preppy. It was, she didn't look like she stepped out of like a Cardi B video or something like that this time.
Yeah, she's definitely had a different aesthetic this season. And it's been like, yeah, it's been quiet luxury / trying to not look so rich, but still trying to flex. And I'm like, part of me actually, I like actually the hair color better, because we had some flashbacks to like her blonde, and I was like, oh, I do like the brown better.
You know what? I feel the same way every time. It's weird seeing her with the blonde, because I've only seen the brunette, but I do like it this more.
Yeah, I think it's way more flattering on her.
I think it softens her.
We did get the newest. As much as I love the name of Sutton, I love her new one with The Streets Told Me. When she was asked about mentioning the PK being in the car with a woman, and they're like, "Where'd you hear that from?" With her darling accent, The Streets Told Me. Perfect. I'm going to use that for everything now.
But at the same time, I also want to go like, Sutton's right. Like, who didn't hear, like, that was splashed, like, all over, like, Page Six and Us Weekly and TMZ. That, like, there were rumors that there was a woman in the car with him. Like, that was not, and even some of them were like, there was a rumor that he was in the car with a woman. So that wasn't just something that Sutton pulled out of her ass. It was something that was on the goddamn internet. Like,
yeah. One thing,
it wasn't even the streets, it was the interwide web.
I remember PK when that came, I remember it, those rumors circulating, and they were out on social media, they were in like Page Six and stuff, because PK eventually, and I think Dorit, posted to stories the police report showing no passengers in the car. But
isn't that when PK called you like a little, see you next Tuesday?
Oh yeah, was it? He has called. Yeah, PK called me a C word on Instagram.
Lovingly.
Yeah, it's English.
We called Dawn a C word.
Yeah, he called Dawn Gunvalson. I guess he didn't find it.
Now, did he think it's the real Dawn, or does he know it's like
I don't know,
a parody?
We'll probably find out.
He probably doesn't care either way.
He probably doesn't remember because Dorit did drop that. He didn't say an alcoholic, but you know, he does drink a lot. She said so.
And that was the way she described that. Oh yeah, he's been sober for 49 days is so, like, when you have a drinking problem, you get into super, not like, oh, it's been months. Like, when you say 49 days, that's so specific. That generally is somebody who has a problem. Like, where you can pinpoint the day.
Also, okay, I'm gonna be messy here. There's all this talk about like how he was in London so much of the year, last year while they were filming, after the robbery, leaving his wife home alone, you know, with her trauma, which I full on, like, she has PTSD from that. Absolutely. Like, I think, you know, whatever, like, I'm not going to have conspiracy theories about it. Whatever. She was robbed. She had a gun to her head. If PK, like, if, you know, there's rumors that PK set it up for an insurance type of thing. I don't know. Yeah, if he did, then that's absolutely
that's one horrible. Of the operating theories is that Dorit genuinely didn't know. And that's why she's so traumatized. And that's also PK. Allegedly, it's just something, a conspiracy people have floated out there. PK set it up for the insurance money. And that's why he's so indifferent to her trauma, because he knew all along. So who knows?
But this is my thing, is that, like, why do you, in this age, after 2020, and remote work, when we all know, like, that you can be on a computer, you can be on Zoom, you can be on Google Meet. I mean, look, we've been doing this podcast we have never recorded an episode in the same place, all three of us, ever together. Like, ever. Like,
and we never will.
No, probably not. This has always been remote. So why does he have to go over and spend months in London? Like, why is he there? He's not a performer. So it's not like he has a residency or something like that, or he's doing a show in the West End for months at a time, or he's on location for something. He manages Boy George. Something else. I don't know. But, like, I feel like this is a job that you could do a lot. You could still do partially at home.
I don't know if they may have not wanted to reference it on Bravo, but he is on a reality show in England as well called Selling Super Houses. So maybe he didn't want to say it, but he was. It's kind of like Mauricio's Buying Beverly Hills. It's a London real estate reality show. That's where he made his money. So my only guess is if they just, because I was like, what is he doing in London? I don't even know if he has a job. Truthfully, I don't. I wonder. And then I was like, oh, he does have some kind of British reality show called Selling. So maybe he was filming, but they didn't want to mention a rival show. That's my only answer, because what the hell does he do?
I mean,
I assume she's the breadwinner.
I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I didn't know about that show. But I also go, but at the same time, it's, unless it's like on Netflix, but we don't even get it over here in US Netflix. Like, it's not something that's being shown. Like, nobody knows about it, or not many. The general public doesn't know about it here in the US. Yeah. So they could either mention it, or they could say that he's in real estate. He got his start. He's gone back to real estate in the UK in order to build things back up. Yeah, and then this is, you know, what, I don't know. I don't know. For me, it just seemed very sus that he was gone for so long, like leaving her alone.
Yeah.
I just don't think that was like very helpful to her or in their marriage.
And Andy, he just teed up that super obvious, easy question that she would have had known was coming, with, which is, how are you in PK right now? And then there was that super, super awkward pause. And she goes, things are better than ever. And it was the least, it was the most unbelievable thing you've ever heard.
Right.
And it's like, Dorit, you had to know this question was coming. That's the best you got? Wow. You can't even lie well. Like, it was just a super long pause. It was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable. And I've known them for 11 episodes. No, I guess 19 episodes. However the hell long the season's been.
Oh my God. You dug in deep with them.
I did appreciate that we didn't have, Anna Marie, was on the sideline most of this one. She got like one, she basically said one thing when they were talking about Sutton's, when she was talking about her alimony and things. And Anna Marie said, I come from a world where we don't talk about money. Why the hell are you on this show? Like, that's what this show is. What is that? Like, why?
That's right, Anna Marie. You don't talk about money. You show us about money with your fucking Korbel champagne. That's what you do.
That's the, literally the worst housewife tagline ever is, I come from a world where we don't talk about money. Imagine that being on the opening credits.
And I'll give Sutton this. Sutton did not brag about that. Andy asked her that question on Watch What Happens Live because creeps. I wasn't the one who dug it up, but I screenshot the hell out of it. Someone dug up her court papers from her settlement, her divorce settlement. And that's the only reason it got out there, just how much she gets. So anyone who's mad at it is jealous. I don't think anyone...
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. So, I mean, you're not jealous because you're getting it.
Yeah, I am.
Well, no. Doesn't it stop if she ever gets married?
Right. That's another thing.
So you can't ever get married to her.
Hey, who said anything about marriage? All right. wait. What about common law? How does that work? If we become common law? I don't know.
Okay, you'll have to have a private conversation with
her. I'm going to have my attorney look into this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Laura Wasser, here we come.
The terms of it are that she gets it as long as she doesn't remarry. So, which is kind of as, you guys can live it out, work.
We are.
Make your arrangement work, however. As long as I get to come
back
on
ring.
One. No, don't give back the ring. And as long as I get to come on one Merce Cunningham ash spreading trip a year with you guys.
I think we have at least two or three more locations for Merce to be, I think. So, okay, you're done. You're welcome. You can come.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, we should mention, shout out, by the way, to Chadwick, one of our friends and followers on Twitter. He pointed out, he dug this up, that Sutton used to have a blog in 2012, you know, just like a Blogspot kind of thing. In 2012, she wrote a post about spreading Merce's ashes in downtown LA at like the Disney Theater. Who knows? And it was the same setup. I was just moving and unpacking, and I thought I had lost his ashes, but here they were. I don't know what
she's lost was. And refound those ashes so many times.
I mean, I think the storyline felt a little forced to me, like she was trying to show a different side of herself, introduce her past with the dancing and a more into, you know.
Well, because she only had a horse. And what else? And a dating coach.
She doesn't even need the dating coach anymore.
Yeah.
So now she just has the horse.
Yeah.
So shout out, by the way, to @OChadwick. He, I didn't even know about that. I was like, what? I tracked down the blog post. So she was spreading something I had put out there that it looked like cocaine to me, just as a joke, not implying that, just the way it's this sparkly box. It's this like sparkly disco box and they're pouring out of a baggy white powder.
This just makes you think though, like if from 2012, if she like thought that she'd misplaced Merce's ashes and then she's telling us how she moved so many times that she lost her father's ashes. Has she maybe mixed up her father's and Merce's ashes?
Oh.
I mean. Yeah, if she keeps keeping them in like Ziploc baggies in nondescript, you know, cocaine purses, then maybe.
It's the thought that counts. Does it really matter which ashes she's spreading?
Especially this last one, because Merce and her father and Christian were kind of all rolled up in one. So, you know, she was letting go of all of those dead things then.
At your memorial, Nate, she'll be spreading Avi.
No.
The St. Louis Arch.
Don't say that. I love Bobby.
Oh my God. I don't know where to go from there. It's so awkward.
Did you guys watch the Erika Jayne show? Movie? Documentary?
Yeah.
Bet it all on Blonde?
I let you guys watch it so you can tell me all about it. And I'm ready
for it. I did not really know it existed until I was watching the reunion on Peacock and it suggested watching it next. So I'm like, oh, okay. I thought it was a new show. Did not realize it was a two-part documentary that I finished in one sitting. Honestly, I enjoyed it. It was good. It was like, this was not J-Lo's movie part two. This thing had real drama. Real drama. It was basically, it's obviously very sympathetic to Erica because, you know, she's the hero in this, not the villain. But like, honestly, you're pulling for her because the whole point of the thing was that it starts 30 days. The show starts a day before the residency is supposed to start and you see it's an absolute shit show, but then it rewinds to 30 days before and kind of goes forward and the day counter keeps getting lower and lower and you're like, oh, they do not have their shit together. And obviously you knew the end because we know how it happened, but there was real drama. And basically it was an hour and a half of Mikey Menden just breaking down and crying and him just yelling at Erica all the time because she's unprepared.
That part was awkward for me because, okay, I was watching and I have to agree with you. Towards the end, I caught the second half essentially. So I saw the wrap up and her getting on stage and I got swept up in it. And I was like, oh my God, it's so great for her. And I was like, well, wait, then I remembered what brought her down to begin with, Orphans and Widows. Yeah. And that nostalgia draw.
They discussed it quite a bit, but you just kind of rooted for her, you know.
Well, the other...
you know,
The other issue when I saw Mikey Menden
I feel uncomfy, but I watched it still.
Yeah. Well, you knew how it was going to end.
Well, when he popped up, when I saw it, regarding our podcast, I was like, oh yeah, that was awkward. Do you remember a couple months ago when we made the press? Over a tweet confirming that it was Erica and Mikey Menden and Rinna and drunk at the Beverly Hills Hotel causing a scene. And I was like, oh yeah, because I see Mikey Menden pop up on Instagram a lot and I forget his attachment to her. I was like, very PCP. Bet it all on us.
Honestly, if you're not a fan of Mikey, this is a fun watch because you can't, over the course, you just see him breaking down more and more to by the end, he's just broken. Like he just starts yelling things at her. He just yells out of nowhere. She doesn't know the show at all and actually yells at her. Can you just try? and then he also says, all this would be fine if she just performed, if she just knew what she was doing. Like he's crying. He's breaking down. And she's so nonplussed about it. She's just like, it'll be fine. We'll be good. Mm-hmm. And it turned out okay. And honestly, just watching this whole dramatic arc, I would pay more than $7 to see this show. I don't believe it's still going on, but I would pay more than the $7. I would pay like $12, probably. You know.
Look at that.
They didn't show any, there was like no reference to any other housewives. Like I guess it's just out of a separate, they consider it sort of a separate world. Because they didn't even, the big finale was the show, was the premiere of the residency. And I know a few housewives were there, but they made no reference to them at all. They just kept showing crowd shots of just random Vegas people. So I don't know if, like, they didn't mention that, you know, I know that, I think it was Tamra and Teddy were there for opening night. But then, Rinna, Kyle, and Dorit went at some point, but there was just no mention. It might as well have just been a separate world. Like, it wasn't even a Housewives thing.
Yeah. I think it was, what's the term for it? I was going to call it a capsule collection, but I think the term is like a limited series. I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was probably pretty cheap to produce. And if they had to bring another Housewives, then it's like, I don't know how that works.
That's true. I didn't think about that. You did
get to meet her beautiful, beautiful dog, Tiago. Or not meet. I don't know if Tiago's been in the show otherwise, but Tiago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She put a wig on Tiago once, and it was a almost pee your pants moment. It was quite funny. It was quite funny when she put a wig on Tiago.
It's just the whole thing made her seem so human. Like, I have not seen villain. And they even showed Erica. They showed her clips of villain Erica. Like, she was looking at her phone. They showed her original, original confession from 2015. And she was commenting on how young she looked and what, and then they showed her like clips of over the years of her just being a terrible person to everybody. And Erica owned it. She's like, I am who I am, but she seems way more likable now. So you were rooting for her.
Yeah.
I mean, she still has one of my favorite confessional sound bites of, you know, I've been rich, I've been poor, and being poor sucks, being rich is way better. I'm paraphrasing right there, but she says it and you're just like, and anybody who has been poor and then at least got some money and like you finally like feel better about your life, you're like, yes, it's so true. Like, anybody who tells you that like money isn't everything needs to shut the fuck up, they've never been poor before. Like,
what was it? Lori on RHOC, like her season two tagline. I think it was season one. So one of the original Bravo taglines of all time was, I've been rich, I've been poor, I've been rich. What is it? I've been rich, I've been rich, I've been broke, I've been rich again. Let me tell you, having money is easier. Again, paraphrasing. But it wasn't delivered with the same attitude as Erica Jane.
Yeah. Yeah.
The same Erica, sass.
Oh, yeah. And Erica, like, especially, like, her first season, like, her confessional looks and, like, everything she said was just outrageous. And we all ate it the fuck up, honestly.
She helped raise the bar. I mean, I will say she is part of why Beverly Hills production and everything is so. She came on with two planes, and she introduced to the Bravo world the term glam squad. She was the one with her glam, and now it's like a universal phrase. Mm-hmm. Her $40,000 a month glam squad.
I will say this: the it's very happy. Celebratory ending, and then it has the, you know, the title cards like they used in the finale, where they kind of show, you know, it's like what's happening later on. Like, the first title card at the end says, the, you know, Erica's show went on to rave critical and reviews, which no it didn't. And then it, and I say this because I care about you, stop the movie right there, just at that first title card, because there are title cards after that. Do not watch them. I care about you. If you've seen it already, you know why. Do not watch them. Stop the show right there. That is all I would say. And if that's vague, then maybe go check it out yourself. But I care about you.
You'll have to tell us off camera. Well, you have to tell me at least off camera, because I didn't see that. Man. Well, I think I think that's all for this week. I mean, we'll be back at it on Thursday for pop culture.
Can't wait.
That right? is right. If you guys don't remember, we've broken it up. We've broken up our programming so we could hit you up all week and keep you company. So as always, Bravo Breakdown is Tuesdays. Thursday now is a full-blown PCP pop culture. And the best way to manage this new, awesome, amazing schedule without having to stress about it, go on over and subscribe so you'll get notifications when new episodes drop. Of course, it also helps if you rate, review, and also follow. Head on over to Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, also Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. From there, all our individual accounts are there to follow our own redemption arcs from our fall from graces. And make sure you bet it all on PCP. Like we do it.